views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mindset Makeover. During this unique show, hosts Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter accompany you on a journey of mindful thinking, true feeling, and clearing mind chatter, all to align you with deep answers and multiple possibilities that help you move forward and live in the now. You become present, clear, and unstuck, and able to live fully led by your heart. Michelle and Lisa invite you to listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. Open up to what's possible and experience a shift.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible. I'm Lisa Berry.
And I'm Michelle Carter.
Hello, Michelle Carter.
Hi, how are you?
Monday. I'm doing terrific. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
I'm good. Great. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. Okay, now I'm actually going to laugh before even saying this, because I don't think I've ever just asked you randomly at the beginning of the show, like, how are you? And today is all about questions and asking. So now I think it's hilarious that I did that. But no, but I'm glad you're good. And today really is about questions. And I was thinking about our topic being the art of the ask. And questions are things like we face every single day. I'm asking myself my own self questions. I'm asking other people questions, even if it's like, well, I'm truly asking the cats questions all the time. But and they're so basic, like it could be, how are you? How's your day? What do you want for dinner? Of course, I'm thinking of the cats there. But sometimes some questions are harder than others, including asking for help. So today really is all about the art of the asking questions. So I'm going to ask you a question, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
In all of the questions that we have, because, of course, very natural process. It's just we don't even think about asking. Like, you know, just here we go. I'm going along my day asking questions or not. There are some questions, like I said, that really are topics are harder or sometimes they're really easy. I want to ask you today, this is my ask to you, what are some of the hardest questions or topics of questions that you face, and what are the most easiest ones that you're like, yeah, I want to ask that question. That's an easy one.
I mean, the hardest for me and probably for a lot of people, I don't like even asking clients or people that owe me money. I hate asking for money or anything like that. Like that I wish I always had someone to do it for me. And I never have a problem asking anyone to go out for lunch or to do anything like that. So I don't really, I mean, I guess, yeah, stuff that would be the hardest for me because, like, I panic every time I even have to invoice somebody, which is insane and funny at the same time. But, like, yeah, like, that's totally, I'm like, oh, even though, you know, I get hired to do services. So it's hilarious, and I'm well aware of that. But, yeah, but other than that, I mean, I'm thinking about other asks, like easy things to ask. Like I'm not really that scared to ask people, like, I don't know, personal questions or stuff like that, or to go out and hang out and or anything like that. But the biggest one for me would be invoicing and asking for money, even when I'm owed it.
You know, I was actually laughing because I was thinking when somebody asked, like what you said about, hey, you want to go out for lunch or whatever, in a weird way, now I'm using Lisa's words today, but it's like that's asking somebody to spend time together, and spending is actually a money term, which is about money, but I was just kind of thinking, oh, I wonder if we can change our perception or our concept, but you're right, because when we're asking somebody to invoice, because for me, I remember I had, before meeting you, Michelle, oh my gosh, I think that was my scariest thing ever. And then it was just kind of fun. We got so good at, you know, because I think it's down to that worst thing. You get scared thinking you may very well, like our own selves may validate our worth. I think it's worth a certain amount, but then we're asking someone else to acknowledge it. But an invoice is actually really even funnier because at that time we probably already said yes.
Excuse me.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've already probably,
sorry,
we've discussed it. And you're like, yeah, but we've already agreed, like in your mind, you can rationalize that. I know I go through the whole conversation of validating, going, yeah, but it's already, we've already established this is the rate of the service. And this is, you know, and then at the end, you're like, why am I still afraid to do this? Because is there a fear, I wonder, of people, even once it's already arranged, you're like, ooh, are they going to pull through? Or why can't they just pay me? Why do I actually have to ask them now? And we're actually really lucky to have, we're going to bring on a guest after the first commercial break. But truly, truly, I think it's very, one of the most difficult, but yet probably one of the most rewarding jobs is to be in philanthropy, whether you are a philanthropist on any level. I mean, it could be a dollar. And philanthropy is, of course, meaning the raising of money to giving of money. Like, so being a leader in philanthropy is to raise and give it, and then philanthropy is to give it. But you know what? We all have to have whatever it is, whether it's money, time, energy, and able to do this. And I think that's where, Michelle, you and I are, I love that you're saying about you have no problem to be able to ask, which I put into like personal questions. Like you said, oh, you have no problem asking people personal questions. And I think about you always often ask people like, how do you feel? How does that make you feel? What do you think about that? Like, you're very open and don't have any, you know, fears of somebody. First of all, if they just shut you down, you'd be like, wow, whatever, they didn't want to tell me.
Yeah, I don't care about that, yeah. Well, I also always deep, like, that's just how it is. Like, yeah, I was like that as a little kid. I'd be at a party, I'd find one person and talk to them about their whole life, and that's just how it's always been like that. So that doesn't scare me. But yeah, for sure, the for sure, other stuff too.
That you said that narrow and deep. Oh, that's so cool. Because a lot of times our questions, you're right, are we laser focused on the question that we're asking? Because you're really like you narrow in at the whole party. There's that one person. You're like brrrk, zap. Oh, like a little red laser toy, laser cat. And then you can go, you know, layers in there. But I think this is a really neat thing. I've kind of broken down in my own brain what I would think. Like, what are the stages of asking? And so I kind of came up with them as originally, you have this need or desire, something, right? Like, you would like a lunch date, or, you know, or you would like money for an organization, or you would like whatever. Maybe it's actually not even money. That was time spent. But it could be anything. It could be a position or a job or something. Or oh, my gosh, think of all the people who have to ask somebody else to marry them. That's a really scary question to ask sometimes, even then you think you know the answer. But I was thinking of this at a
desire. Yeah, I don't think
desire.
You should ever ask when you don't know. When people get turned down, it's like, oh, don't ask. If you don't know, don't ask.
Oh, my gosh, wait. Oh, the entire conversation. That's amazing that you just said that. You shouldn't ask if you, oh my gosh. Okay, wait, I'm having an aha moment.
Well, I mean, that's the thing in when you're interrogating people, like, or because, you know, I've interrogated so many people, but like lawyers or if, yeah, like this is just something I do. But they do say don't ask questions that you don't know the answers to. So if you ask, I'm not saying don't ask questions
goodness.
You don't know the answer.
No.
Because you do ask, like, it's, in life, you want to ask questions
and
be in a state of wonder and all that stuff. But when, like, I always think when I watch those wedding videos gone bad, and why do I watch them? I have no idea. But I'm just like, no, how would you ever go that far without making sure the person's kind of on board? It just freaks me out.
Right.
But that's a whole other topic.
No, I love that you said it, because actually, like, in sales, you want to pre-qualify people, basically. And anybody who's been to a sales pitch, I'm sorry for those people who... I'm sure I give a sales pitch, but meaning I'm sure those people who, but we actually, in a weird way, it's premeditated, like asking, okay, well, who's in charge of your money? Would your husband or you be the decision makers, or do you have this much money? You know, they ask those questions on a survey. But I love that you said that, because in fact, one of my steps that I was going through, and I believed, you know, in my world of the structuring of the ask, was one of them was preparing for the answer, of the possible answer and preparing for the answer that you want. And of course that goes exactly to what I love that you said that. Anyway, but you're so right. So, and then I think so. You have this need or desire of something, or like you want to change or you want to acquire something. And then there's the belief that it's even possible, like what you just said. Oh, see, you just narrowed it right down to like, if you don't know, don't ask. And then there's where is the people, the group, who is that person that I need to ask? To ask them, right? And then the structuring of it, knowing based on that person, and then preparing for the answer that you could get. Because if what happens if it's close to the answer, you're like, whoa, they threw me for a loop. I didn't, they've asked me a question in turn. I have to deliver my answer. And then there's the courage, which is why we're actually bringing on our guest, as I was saying before. It's amazing. I can't believe how many times he's had to ask for everything. And of course, then the courage to ask again if you hear the no. And then, of course, the restructuring of that ask again. So I guess it takes a point for somebody to be able to know the answer before they ask, like what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So things have to happen before it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you wing it. That's the
There's so many egos. Yeah, I mean, you can sit there and prepare all you want, but you actually never, it's kind of like what we've talked about in the past. Like, you know, somebody can say, I remember years and years ago when I worked in this shoe store, and these people are like, oh, we love these shoes. They're so great. Okay, well, we're going to come back later. And then my boss came up to me. He's like, what happened to them? I'm like, oh, it's fine. They said they were going to come back. And he was like, no, that doesn't mean anything. Even though in my mind, it still meant something. But he's like, you've got to close the deal. So it's just like, you don't know. I mean, you can have everything planned, but you don't also, you have to not be attached to outcome too, of how, because if you're too attached to it, sometimes you're, I mean, that's kind of going, depending on what you're asking for, but it'll be interesting to see everything that Jim says, because, you know, this is what he does. So it's pretty amazing.
I know. And when you're saying about like a, you know, closing that sale or doing that kind of thing, is it always comes back to, because what you said, it depends on what it is that you're selling. Because a lot of times we can say, you know what, it's okay if I got a no. It doesn't change the belief in me. I don't feel like a failure for that no, and I don't feel these things. But when we are usually asking for something that's directly related to what we have attached it, not to the outcome, but attached it to our worth or our value, what we perceive it to be and what we believe others believe in us, I think that's where, I actually really am excited to hear all these things. Jim's actually, when we bring him on after the show, has raised over $150 million for foundations and things that, in essence, he has to have believed of the value and that worth, because he's going in and asking from a lot of little things, because little things add up to the big things. And that's actually important, because imagine your shift selling shoes. One shoe makes you feel excited, but then again, at the end of the day, you're hoping to sell 10 pair of shoes, and you can go home and go, I feel amazing. The value of the ask of the sale. But yeah, so I think we narrowed it down to it's a wet commercial. Okay, when we come back, we're going to, the art of the ask, value, and cats fighting everywhere on the commercial.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
No, I don't have time for coaching. When I get into the car, I just want to hear music and drown out my problems. I don't want to talk about it. What? I've never heard of coaching music before. What do you mean coachable moments set to music? Really? In less than 8 minutes, I can listen to a single track and shift my entire mindset and mood? I guess when music is set to the universal frequency of 432 hertz, anything is possible. If you're stuck, stagnant, or need a shift, get your album 8 now at 432shift.com.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Oh, I miss that cat commercial. That was so funny. Usually, and I show everybody to bring how the Brinks, but how the cats are so good for the radio shows. That today, not only has Brinks decided, Lucy's usually called Brinks is a troublemaker, and Brinks is just a crazy pant. But I was going to ask you, Michelle, you know that new song with Taylor Swift right now? She's singing a duet. Who is it with? Oh, goodness. Oh, again, I don't say this, but there's a line in the song, I swear, that she says, in a cat box. I know she doesn't say that. Every time I hear it, I think, oh, I have to, but I'm usually driving, so I can't look it up, which is very safe driving. But it just makes me laugh every time. So I thought that was kind of funny. The Brinks wants to be a part of today's show. And guess who else wants to be a part of today's show? Jim Zeman wants to be a part of today's show. So let me introduce him. Oh, goodness. Well, yes, because this is, oh, goodness. Jim, I know you're online. I just want to make sure I'm just going to do a little hello in there. Jim?
Hello there. Good afternoon, ladies.
Oh, hello. Hello, good night. Hey. I want to make sure you're on before I say this wonderful thing about you. I want to say that we are pleased to have, honestly, a true Peter Pan at heart, a leader in philanthropy and charity consultant, Jim Zeman, as our guest, and he's going to share his insights on the art of asking. What a big topic, Jim. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Great to be on the show, ladies. Really appreciate it. And I think it's a great question you're asking.
Yeah,
because, you know, like, as you mentioned, yeah, it certainly does. Because a lot of people, not just in terms of philanthropy, even just in life in general, a lot of people, you know, their biggest mistake is that they try to force an interest on themselves. And before they make a change in their job or even their giving, you know, they need to really understand that, you know, it's okay. You don't have to be afraid. Sometimes so many people are out there afraid to ask for help. And unfortunately, that then could paralyze their relationships, their job, their future. And there's you've heard that saying, there's no bad question.
I know, but no, go deeper on that one, because let's see that. There's no bad question. Why not?
Well, there isn't, because, well, when you think about it, like, you know, we know that the art of asking questions is at the heart of discovery, like in science, philosophy, medicine, for example. So why don't we extend that power to all areas of our lives? But people are afraid to ask. They're afraid to ask for help. They're afraid to ask for money. They're afraid to, you know, ask for a raise or ask for their job performance evaluation. Or some people are afraid to ask their partner where to go on vacation or where do you want for dinner. You know, it's interesting the different levels of people that resist the ask.
Question for you, because I remember what you were just saying, literally, about even as common as a question could be asking their partner, where would you like to go on vacation? Do you believe that? Because I was thinking about what Michelle was saying earlier about, you know, knowing the answer before you ask, is that pre-qualifying question. So do you think it's, when you were asking, for how many years were you, even doing that? And sort of my question, just to finish that, was going to be, did you always pre-qualify, or did sometimes you just drop the fear, or did you ever have, like, explain that whole pre, did you already know the answer before you asked, or did you pre-qualify, and how did that happen?
Well, I've been in philanthropy for over 25 years, as you mentioned, raised over $150 million. And shocking for those that know me is I used to be kind of shy when I was younger. I was afraid to talk. I was afraid to ask. And then as I went through university, I realized, you know, basically, like the question right now, you have to have kind of I guess, you know, passion is a really key word. You know, once you find your passion, then that helps you, you know, and then you have to really believe in the cause. For example, like I believe in what I did. I believed, like, you know, when there was a need for a cancer center to be built and the goal was $16 million and they did a feasibility study and said we could do 10 to 12. I'm like, no, we will raise that money. And that goal went from 16 to 30 to 35. And we ended up raising $42.5 million and built a brand new state-of-the-art cancer center. But basically, it was big because there's passion, vision, and commitment, you know. And luckily, I was able to ask. The largest ask was the naming of the cancer center, which was $5 million. And I'll be honest, even after my years of experience, I was nervous to ask that question to the prospective. You know, yeah, I'm asking for $5 million. But at the same time, it's such an amazing feeling when you actually believe in what you're asking for. Because you do have, when you're looking at philanthropy, you yourself, if you're asking for money, you got to believe in the cause yourself. And that's where a lot of, charities right now, they're challenging because the people that are either working for them or even volunteering for them are afraid to ask for money. And mm-hmm. you have to believe.
You express a certainty. I was just going to say that. Yeah, you express this absolute certainty when they said they're going to raise this amount, and you matched it and then went higher. So where does that that certainty, is that what you're saying, like that passion?
Well, yeah, because basically you got to believe in what you're, so to speak, selling. Even if you're selling something, and you also, the people that you're asking, they also want to get involved. They want to know that they're doing something good, right? And they want to believe mm-hmm. in you. But you have to really know what you want before you ask. I know I heard you earlier in your introduction, and it's true. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you want to know what the answer is. But when you're asking, like for asking for a donation, for example, to the cancer center, you know, you're providing them with the answers that they want to hear. Like, well, what's the difference is this going to make? How you're going to bring cancer care closer to home? Patients no longer going to have to travel, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours to get radiation treatment. They're going to get it right here close to home. So you want to kind of be prepared. But again, when it comes to like asking the question, I like, for example, so many businesses are built on success. And why is that? Because it's all started out with questions. Like, you know, who needs questions? People say, oh, we just need answers. Well, questions are the frames, I call it, into which answers fall into. So when people say, let's brainstorm ideas.
Who needs
questions? We need answers is what most people say. But in fact, really, it's questions are the frames, I like to explain it, into which the answers fall into. So when I do a brainstorming session, so many people brainstorm ideas. I'm like, no, let's brainstorm questions. And that actually gets you deeper into analysis of what the problem is and what you want to try to solve it. And that's what's really worked for me through the years. And you know, for example, like a great example would be, you know, everyone's heard now of Airbnb, right? Mm-hmm. You know, look at that business. I don't know if you know about this, but it started out by a question with one of the founders of that company. And now it's grown into a $10 billion company. It's number 4 on public hotel companies, just behind the Hilton and Marriott. And do you know what that question, ladies, was that was asked by that founder? Why should you be stuck without a bed if I've got an extra air mattress? In San Francisco, there's a design conference years ago, and it always, as a lot of conventions, sell out all the hotel rooms. And the person living there in San Francisco, you know, heard that there's no room. He was overheard a conversation. There's no room at the hotel. No room at the hotel. So he came up with that question and thought, wow, I have an extra couch. I have an extra room. You know, is there a way I could rent it out somehow? How could there be a win-win? Next thing you know, Airbnb is born.
Is that what it's called? Air for the air mattress?
Airbnb. Yeah, Airbnb. And if that person asked that question, but look how this company, and that's why I love questions. Like, and you people, I'm always to tell people, do not be scared in asking questions, you know, because any question is a good question.
Michelle, I have to say this, thank you, Jim, because, you know, a little bit of a plug for our album 8 is, the coaching is all about asking questions that people already have the answers within themselves, right? But they have to be asked a question before mm-hmm. they can answer it. And that's actually funny because a lot of times what Michelle's put the music to those cultural moments, which are questions. I love that you're saying this. I love this. We did not discuss any of this. And I love that right now I'm freaking out over the Airbnb that it's the air mattress. That was so cute. But if I may, success starts with a question. So I have to highlight that. Success starts with a question. So if anybody out there listening, if you're needing something, you want hit a certain mark, it starts with a question. And what you had said, questions are the frames where the answers fall into. Is that what you said? I want to rephrase
that. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
And
I like questions. I like questions that can be acted upon. And that's where I think people lead when they really want to move forward in their lives looking for a change is start asking questions that can be acted upon, you know. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just feel that, you know, when you're looking – you want to believe, you know, believe is one of my favorite words, believe, passion, you know,
and
you have to have a vision. Exactly. But, you know, believe anything that you want is possible. You have to believe in yourself. And once you believe in yourself, too, and then that's where you, like, for example, a job interview. When I've mentored many people over the years, I've helped, you know, friends, my own children in terms of being interviewed, because a lot of people are afraid of a job interview because there's all these questions that are being asked of them. And now you can go on the internet, you can get your typical 101 best way to answer a question. Whereas I tell everyone, I give the advice, yes, sir, answer their questions, but please be prepared to ask them questions. And then so many people are afraid in a job interview to ask questions, but they don't realize the questions you're asking is actually helping them to the potential employer to actually give an opportunity to believe in you, to hear another part of your story and a lot of people don't realize that. So again, the art of asking, it's so important in so many ways, not just ask for money, but even in your own pursuit, like job goals, et cetera. And, you know, your ladies, your show, it's a great example because when you're thinking about it, an ambitious yet actionable question can begin to shift, right? You can begin to shift the way you perceive or think about something. And to me, that then will serve as a catalyst to bring about the change that you may need in your life.
Because it can lead you. Here's a question just before this will take us to commercial. I think it will. Do you believe there are any questions that are ridiculous, impossible, unrealistic on a table? Like, do you believe there is a question that could... Yes, I'm going to stop there. That's my question.
Do you want me to answer or should I wait till after the commercial?
Yes. No, answer, please.
Answer, good. No, I honestly don't think there is a bad or ridiculous question. I really don't. Because if you really want to ask it, if you're asking it to a group, if you're asking it even to yourself, I don't think any question is a ridiculous question. And people are afraid, people are afraid to ask about simple things. And you said a marriage proposal. Absolutely. It could be very nervous to an individual. And like you, lady said, you want to make sure, you hope you know the answer, because a lot of human reaction, you know, is that they don't want to be embarrassed. And that's why a lot of people don't ask questions, because they don't want to be embarrassed. But they shouldn't feel that way, because any question is a good question.
Question for Michelle then. Michelle, are you embarrassed to ask when you do? Is it embarrassment, or what is that, like when you're thinking about the question that would be hard for you to ask for money or an invoice? Does that fall under the category of
rejection?
No,
embarrassment
rejection,
doesn't
embarrassment.
Make sense.
No,
I wouldn't say embarrassment. I don't really know what it is. I think I just don't. I'd rather someone else do it. I just hate doing it. I don't know why, but it's not because I'm embarrassed. I mean, I don't like doing it, and I don't know why. It's weird, but...
Well, Jim, I'm gonna put you on the spot when we go into commercial, Jim, then, because as we come back, Jim, if you can ponder over the commercial why one might be afraid to ask for money when we come back. You've led lots of people, so I'll let you think about it just over the commercial.
Okay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
back to me. I want to explore Michelle's, because actually I in fact, Michelle, share that same thing about finally asking for the money after it's already been established and it's all good. And I'm like,
which is weird because I think you're so good at it.
But I've had to do it so much, but now I can get over it. But no, remember when we first met, actually, in fact, everybody will laugh at this. I used to ask Michelle to create the invoice, but we were a great team because I was afraid to ask for myself. So I'd ask Michelle to do it, but she wasn't really even asking. She was just creating it. But I felt because she was creating it, I wasn't asking. And it was like a tag team. And I love putting the word "we" on things. Like, we're asking for this, or we thank you. And I always feel like the royal we, like, helps it. So, Jim, you've led teams of raising this money. I mean, you certainly, you know, didn't do it alone, but you've led it in certain ways. You've had to have come across people who were a little bit nervous, who believed in the cause.
Absolutely. And, well, my first not-for-profit job was actually working in a fundraising campaign office where people were asking for donations to people that never even donated before to the cause, like literally the old fashioned telephone books. Remember those? And so I had to teach them to overcome the fear of asking, because a lot of people feel uncomfortable asking a stranger for money, and especially doing it over the phone. And back then telefundraising was very popular, whereas now, you know, I myself, after being in the business, I don't like receiving, you know, telesolicited phone calls because, again, I want to make sure the money's going to where it's supposed to go. But again, I had to teach them how to overcome that fear of asking, because, you know, they don't want to feel like they're, you know, that's what I'm looking for. Sorry, the asking won't be an imposition. But basically, you want to turn that feeling of won't be an imposition, let it be a welcome opportunity to help a cause that they most likely could care about. The solution is to trust the other members of your team, for example. That's what I had to do. I had to trust them. And then basically what you really do is you have to basically build a case. So, for example, that's why a lot of charities send out letters of appeal first, right? And then they follow up with a reminder, gives the person an opportunity to review their case of support. And yes, should I give my charitable dollar towards, you know, to the Arthritis Society or to the Cancer Center or to another good cause? But you really need to have be able to teach them and show them that it's okay to ask. Like, a lot of people, I used to get the phone calls when I was a CEO. This is my fourth mailing this year. People would respond, why are you mailing me so much, asking me for money? My response always would be, actually, do you go to church? And, well, yes. I go, do you know the church asks 52 times a year? They ask every week. And no one goes and gets complaints to the church that they're asking for money. Right?
They're so again, ask.
Exactly. You know, but, you know, like a friend of my grandmother's used to say, it's a poor dog that can't wag its own tail. You know? So basically, yeah, you know, but again, you know, you really want to, you want prospects, I call them prospects, people that may have never given to your charity, for example, you want them to, obviously, to be sympathetic to your message. But again, you want them to, you want to create a catalyst. You want them to actually do something about it. That's why you, in a lot of these direct mail envelopes, for example, there is an envelope with a postage paid on there because they want you to open up your checkbook and make that donation, you know, and it could be anything. Even if it comes to an auction, for example, a lot of people, you know, that's how they're successful. They have volunteers on their team that will go into their dry cleaners, go into their hair salon and ask for a donation. But there's some people I know that throughout the years, 25 years, I'll say, Jim, I'll help in any way. I'll write you a check. I'll do this, but just don't ask me to have to ask somebody anything. And there's some people that, you know, that are like that. Whereas I don't mind asking for anything. But what I would do is then I would say to you, Michelle, you know what do you like about it? So I would start asking you questions, right? You know, in terms of by me asking these questions, it'll help me then to help you. But guess what? I could have you change, and I could have you asking for money. You'd be surprised how quickly. And you would feel comfortable.
Oh my God, that makes me want to barf. And but I do think there's definite personality types. So, like, the other day I was talking to a friend about It was a tour manager. I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't do his job because it was, and he loves his job and he's amazing at what he does. And we were just like, yeah, well, there's different, it's a personality type that's drawn to that job. And it's like, we are all so different. I'm not saying not, we can all learn elements of it, but seriously, like if you want to put me in torture, it would be to have to cold call people, just period. Like that's terrible. Like it, I am getting anxiety on this call thinking about it. I'm like, oh God, don't make me do it.
I want to help mute Michelle's anxiety, because I'll tell you one thing that I think that Michelle's would be the only thing in the world that she would come to asking is for animals. Because remember, we've even helped rescue a couple of cats, as we know, with
Mindset
Makeover. And so I think that what even you think about a tour manager, he, if we ask him to sell, maybe he, ask for money for cats, maybe he'd be like, oh, God, I could never do that. I wonder if it really is that. Is it the passion that narrows it down?
I think passion makes a tremendous amount of sense, yeah.
Yeah, but what has happened though is what really people are afraid, why people are afraid to ask is their fear. They're feared of being rejected, right? That's mm-hmm. what I used to find out a lot when I was training my fundraisers. And I asked them, why are they so scared to ask? Or if they were told no, and I said, okay, you know, 6 months, a year later, I said, okay, please go back to that prospect donor. Well, they've already said no. They don't want to hear no again. But I go, why did they say no though? Maybe it wasn't the right time for financial giving. Maybe they need to wait till the next fiscal year so they can make a contribution. Because basically, people, their real fear is because people that are actually, the fear of asking for money, for example, is very much tied with the fear of not having enough. You know, a lot of people have realized mm-hmm. that, like, they often fear that if we ask for more money, then they'll be rejected. Therefore, they're going to could have a hard time paying for their bills, or, you know, that's why
prove that they don't have enough.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, you know, using your words, ladies, people need to shift their mindset. Because, in fact, the reality isn't true. In fact, consider the alternative. You keep asking for less money out of fear of being rejected. So you had your new client say yes, and before you know it, you're overloaded for little pay. You then begin to secretly kind of resent your clients for not paying enough when then actually you are the one who set your own rates. So I always tell that to a freelancer entrepreneur.
That's a really,
you know,
really good point.
They learn it the hard way. Yeah, because they learn it the hard way, you know, and for those that's been in this position, it's not pretty to put yourself in that situation, but people have because they didn't ask for enough in the very beginning. So basically, part of being your own boss is like setting your own rates, but making sure that you believe in the value that you're providing, and also not just believing, but you want to be confident as well. What you're asking for.
You know, what's funny is that now we're talking about, which is, I love that you brought up confidence. So I was thinking of what I really struggled with growing up asking was, and I'm gonna share in a moment, but I want to say it comes down to identity. And my identity was, I felt confident and valuable and worthy when I knew that other people knew I was smart. So I used to fight with my mom over this, actually. I could not ask where the bathroom was, like, to anybody. And my mom would say, go ask. I'm like, I'm not asking because I should know where it is. And if I ask, I'm going to look stupid. And I'd have like a panic attack or a meltdown over asking them. And I'll just hold it. And my mom would say, oh my gosh. And she'd have to ask. And I was like, no, you can't ask because they're going to know you're asking for me. And now I'm going to look even worse. I'm going to look not smart and not capable. I said, no, don't tell anybody has to go pee, you know? And we used to fight over this all the time. And I think that's what it comes down to, is that it was my identity, my worth, my value, how I was establishing quote unquote my rates, was if people knew and respected that I was smart. And mind you, that made me look like the dumbest person ever, because I wouldn't ask. Remember what I asked earlier, what is a silly or stupid question? You know, we all rate the question as a good question or a bad question before we ask it. And it's basically, I think it's boiling down to that identity and confidence. Yeah.
And this may seem like a cliche, but Nike, and we all know Nike. Nike has it right. So like sometimes the only way to get over the fear of asking for more money is just do it. You know, because you'd be surprised. You'll surprise yourself, mm-hmm. Michelle. You'll be surprised yourself with how easy it becomes later down the road. You start out small until you build that confidence. Where you're, and like I said, before you know it, you could be a fundraiser, Michelle.
What? still makes me want to barf. But I just want to hire people to do everything. I love the idea of it, and I'm just like, I'll just hire someone to do it. I'm going to stay in my little box and do what I like to do. It's really fun. But it's really funny. The timing of this show, because last night I actually went to an event, and it was called Get It Girl, and the whole idea is like women helping women, and you have to sit, so it goes around the room. and you have to give three asks. And that was, and crazy enough, the woman who put the course, or not course, the night on, I had met her in a course 3 years ago that had all these tools. The hardest tool, actually, the only one I didn't go to was the only month I didn't go. It was about asking. That's the only one. I never even listened to it. And I was like, ah. And so obviously I have some issue. But then last night I didn't want to go first. There was like 30 people there. And you know, this took a long time to go around. And I was like, I should have gone first. But then, when it got to mine, it was really good. I was super clear and good things came out of it, but I was like really clear and I was like, oh, okay. But I think it's because exactly what Jim said there, I knew what I was asking for. It wasn't all out there somewhere. It was totally something I'm very used to. So I was I was passionate about it because it's all music related. And I think that's where the confidence came from, because I was talking about something I knew and I was talking about something I was passionate with. And I think now I'm realizing the connection with that, because and one person asked me, they're like, is there even a market for that? And I'm like, absolutely. And it was just, it was so different. But if it had been something I wasn't super confident or had passion about, I might not be able to answer it. And I think, wow, this is like a wake up for me. I didn't even know that till right now. That's crazy.
No, that's an excellent point, though, Michelle. Like, it really is. Yeah. Like, honestly, it gets down to a base where I tell people the fear of asking for money is like hearing a sound in the night. You know, you're in your bedroom, you hear, I hear noise downstairs. And guess what? The dangers are mostly in your imagination, because, you know, you don't have to be scared.
Yeah.
You don't have to be scared.
Also, this question all raises between Michelle's story and Jim, all your stuff and goodies that you're sharing. I wonder now, does the asking then have a position in the art of asking, that maybe if you were still in the creative state, I mean, when Michelle and I were first creating what we do, we didn't know what to ask because we didn't know what we were asking because we were still in the creative state. So as we were exploring and kind of stepping out there, we were uncertain. And I wonder, when you were asking, you know, and all your building and stuff, do you set your people up? Because as you're creating your team and even yourself, is there a stage where you say, no, we aren't ready. We aren't just ready to just do it yet. There needs to be some more.
Oh, absolutely. When we were told, for example, that we had to go ahead from the ministry to build a cancer center, and right away my board's like, okay, go fundraise right now. Like, start next week. And I was like, no, hold on. I go, you know, we have to build a case of support. That's what people are looking for, you know, especially when they're giving their charitable dollars. Why am I going to give to cancer? Like, for example, I needed to know how many linear accelerators going to be there. What's the chemotherapy program going to look like? You know, I had to have all those answers in place before I would send my staff or my team of volunteers, you know, out there, because they need to be prepared. Because guess what? Those people are going to ask a lot of questions and you're going to want the answers.
Yeah.
At your fingertips.
No, I can't wait to come back. Okay, 2 minutes. We're right back for more of that.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
my mind is racing, Michelle, between all the questions and the timing of the questions and all these kind of crazy things. And I have a question for you. Okay. I have a good friend, and he's in a relationship, and she asks questions because she's going to act on it, right? So she's going to ask, what do you want for dinner? Where do you want to go? What do you, all these things. And he gets so annoyed, he actually says, just do it. I don't care. Like, just make dinner, just whatever. And she's like, yeah, but I don't know what you want or what time you want to eat it, blah, blah, blah. What about those people who, is she asking too many questions, or is maybe he's just not a good question receiver? Like, why do people ask so many questions and blah, 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 all that stuff?
Yeah, well, there are people that ask almost too many questions, and there's also people that are afraid to ask questions. It's almost probably equal when you look about it. But what's really interesting, I go back, is like, go back to their childhood, to be honest, because when you think about it, children have no trouble asking for anything. I know I have too.
Oh, yeah.
And even when they're 21 and almost 19 now, they have no trouble asking for anything, which is good, because they ask over and over, especially when they're younger, and they don't even seem to hear the word no until it's been said several times, right? But by the most time of us reached, but by the time the most of us reach the age like 10, 12, 13, our ability to ask for what we want has now been trained out of us, right? And I firmly believe that.
Wow. But can you repeat that?
Yeah.
No worries. It's okay. But by the time most of us have reached like the age of 10 to 12, our ability to ask for what we wanted has been trained out of us. So that's why it's challenging for more people. Yeah, because as we get older, like, for example, like Michelle, she says she doesn't like to ask people because, again, it depends on how you were as a child, too, and how you were raised. And,
you
ask too many questions.
Wait, why, Michelle?
I'm so weirded out right now. Because I was thinking during the break, I was like, I was fearless when I was younger, and I asked the question in my mind, and then you answered it. So that's kind of crazy, because I was actually going to ask before the end of the show to be like, because literally up until, like, just fearless up until my 20s, I don't really know, like, I did so many, because I didn't care. Like, even when I was 18 in music school, like, I didn't like one of my grades. And I was with another, I'm like, I'm better than this. And then I was like, I'm going to go talk to the teacher. And she was, the girl, my friend, was freaking out. She's like, you can't do that. That's not fair. I go, worst thing he's going to say is no. And I walked to the teacher, knocked on the door. I'm like, we both know I'm better than this. Let me do the test again. And he was so shocked. And he goes, okay. And then I went from 65 to 98. And my friend was so pissed off. She was so mad. And I was like, hey, he could have said no, and he didn't. And the reality was, I was better than that 65. But then,
and you asked,
like, I think of some of the stuff, and I was different. Like, when I did stuff like that all the time, and then something in my 20s just shifted. Like, I don't remember an exact event or anything, but it's just interesting that you said that, because I was really thinking about that during the show, and then you just said that.
Because the first step in getting over your anxiety about asking for money is to remember, guess what? You weren't born with that anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you've been taught about money possibly could have perpetuated a system that the rest, you know, you're trying now to change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you weren't born with that anxiety.
You should teach courses on
the entire show. I love that. It does, kind of, in a weird way. But you know what? That's the cool thing.
Oh,
you weren't born with that anxiety. Oh, my God. I really want all listeners to hear that. Wow. That's because, you know what? So in just asking, because we're kind of now just picking on my friend in a good way, I'm trying to help her. Does she have anxiety that she just is going to make a wrong decision, so she needs validation constantly, or am I in the right course, am I in the right course, am I in the right course? Or does she truly need, like, sometimes you really need to know, what do you want to eat? You can't just, you know, order or make food, and then somebody goes, oh, God, I can't eat that, I'm allergic, I don't like it,
That's a couple questions, though.
But it could be the broad, but look, Jim, some people do, really do ask way too many questions. You're like, No,
it's true. You can be overwhelmed. And, like, I don't mind people asking me questions. I don't mind asking questions. But, like, for example, I did, even being a father, my worst question asking my children, what would you like for dinner? Then I actually stopped asking, because I would never get it. It was like torture. So I know I can relate a little bit to that as well, too. But basically, you know, when you look at it, like I talked about that fear at nighttime, like, you know, when you hear a loud and familiar noise in your house, you know, what's your immediate normal reaction is fear. You have two choices, basically. How do you respond to this fear? Are you going to give in to the fear, huddle under the covers and imagine all the worst things? Or you can take the more sensible, much more difficult, getting up, turn the lights on, and sure enough, you'll discover that the noise was as simple as a cat knocking something over or playing on a keyboard, right? You know, but in the same way, look at everyone's fears about asking for money. In the light of discussion with others, you know, we show that many of these fears at the end of the day are irrational, and that for most, the feared outcome is far likely less to happen, right?
So true. The fear outcome is more less likely to happen. Because even if it wasn't...
And what I would recommend to people is...
No, I like your recommendation. Go ahead.
Okay, so I would say what could help people, and not just fear of asking, but asking any questions, what I used to train my staff and my volunteers, was I'd say write down what you think the feared outcomes are going to be.
Oh.
Right? So, and trust me, then you go through that and you're like, wow. So what you do is you write it down. And then after 4 or 5 minutes, you look at each one and go, wait, okay, what? Okay, the prospect's going to say no. Or is this person, you know, I'm going to ask this person to marry me. Is this person going to say yes? Will they say no? Are they going to yell? Are they going to hit me? You know, it's just, but basically you write down what you think, what are your feared outcomes? And it'll help you overcome them.
And we could even take Michelle's earlier thing about narrow and deep and say the one thing is a fear that they'll say no, and then I won't have the money, and then what? Because I want the money, I won't be able to pay this, and because I won't have that, I won't be able to. So I'm using Michelle's earlier narrow and deep with that, because really I love about the art of ask, because say you go ahead and ask for $1 million for, you know, something that you're building, and somebody says no, but then you ask, how much can you give? And they turn around and say, well, I can give $750,000. You're like, all righty then, you know?
Because basically, it's true, because basically at the end of it, when you ask those brainstorming questions to yourself, you ask those questions like why, you know, basically you're going to fall into three different categories. It's going to be the fear of things that will definitely happen some of the time. Like the person would say no. There will be the fear of things that might happen but could be dealt with if they do. Like the person will ask for money, that person will ask questions that person can't answer. Or the third one would be fear of things that are extremely unlikely to happen. Like, for example, they'd be punched or sued, you know, or throw up. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned earlier.
Or barf. Well, that's not that unlikely. That's not that unlikely. If I'm nervous, I might throw up.
So then you probably don't have fear of that because it's pretty likely.
Yeah, it's like I don't have a fear. Like, you know, some stories that you've shared, like being, because I have really, really lost being embarrassed about a lot of things because I fall all the time. Like, it's to the point of ridiculousness that I don't get embarrassed. Like, I'm not worried about falling down because it happens so often. And like, even yesterday when I went to the event, I realized there was an entire chunk of my hair, like entire chunk, soaking wet. And I was like, how did that happen? I was blow drying my hair, but at the same time, I just don't care because it's like a lifelong realizing that these things just happen. So I think, what you're saying, though, that can be applied to everything. It's like, is someone going to go through the phone and shoot you? No, it's not going to happen. Like, nothing really that bad is going to happen. And if I could apply
Michelle,
that,
I got to tell you something. Dan, Michelle, you both find this hilarious. Michelle and I tend to say our craziest stories, and then they relate, because check this out. So yesterday, I rarely have to go to an event or something, but yesterday I had to do my hair all extra pretty, and I was like, oh my
your
God,
hair always
looks good. Only because it matters. And usually, I don't. It just looks fairly decent without much. And then when I do fiddle with it, I'm like, gosh, why am I? I spent a ridiculous amount, and it looked probably the same as it always looks. And I was, because here you are saying, a chunk of wet hair.
But it actually probably looks better than you. I know, but it's, it's just our fears can shift exactly. But it's all depending what important to you. Like, we all have something. We all have something that freaks us out that could be very, like, you know, for Jim, it's very easy to ask because that's just what he does. And
Jim,
you also had a lot of success in it, too. So you probably believe that, most people are going to say yes.
Yeah, but Michelle, you've hit
what's
it exactly
thing
about
for you to ask?
A lot of people. Hardest thing for me to ask now? Oh, that's tough, to be honest. It should be red or white tonight. No, just kidding. but I have to get back to what Michelle, though, had mentioned. But it's true. Like, basically, to help people overcome it, at the end of the day, I mentioned about writing down what do you think the potential fears are. But basically, you want to help people let go of their personal barriers, because for some reason there's certain personal barriers that prevent people from asking. you know, as well as the understanding, you know, by how asking for money is important. It's an act. It's, you know, there's a lot of ways that people can really, you know, because don't forget, you ask a question, you could be rejected. But one of the worst answer for me as a fundraiser was the word maybe. You know, like, ooh. I found that even more challenging sometimes than the word no, because I think maybe, that opens up a whole other. Oh, is that maybe? Is that what? Because now what's going to happen? You now have to ask a lot more questions. Is it because, well, maybe it's because it's not a good time for them right now, or maybe they're going to be getting more money in down the road, or maybe they just don't think the cause is good enough? Like, so that opens up a whole new discussion. Yeah. And again, another meeting. So, people that are listening, are try to answer yes or no, because that, that could be a whole show in itself.
Oh, you know what? Michelle, that's a great question too, or a little bit of a homework thing to ask all of the listeners. If everybody out there listening right now, if somebody has asked you something, really find it in your heart out of helping them, out of respect, out of all the things, is to let them know, is it a yes or a no? And to not put them in that suspense or that gut-wrenching maybe mode, and to really look, where have you said maybe in your life that you do need to say yes or no, and just not have it be a maybe. Oh, I love that. Sorry, I'm all excited about it. Does everybody else love that?
Yeah, no, I think that's great.
I think it's a great question to ask you,
Lester. Jim,
absolutely.
There you go. Jim, we are so, honestly, I feel so lucky already to have, so many fun things have been shared, but helpful things. And Michelle, you're right, we could actually really go deep on the art of the asking here now, because now we're just unraveling everything. But it is really interesting to go to something that we all do every day, ask questions here and there that really have a lot more to them that we realized. And Jim, I want to thank you so much. Michelle and I both, it sounds like we both jumping in
so
like
much,
excited.
Oh, it was my pleasure. My pleasure, ladies. And again, remember, every question is a good question. And again, make sure it's ambitious, actionable, and make the shift. You know, change the way you need.
I love it. Actionable. Oh,
thank you,
Jim.
So
thank
much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.